It is Monday, June 24th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from Soul Yoga Lounge, offering 26 classes per week, focusing on flexibility, balance, strength, and stress relief. Gift certificates, logo wear, mats, and handmade bags that support the Give Back program join are available. Located on Dixon Street in Fayetteville and on the web at soulyogalounge.com. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Mercy Northwest Arkansas plans to admit its first patient to its senior behavioral health program today. We learn more about the new program. Plus, gay-straight alliance clubs in high schools, a conversation with poet Michael Heffernan, also the latest installment of Arkansongs, and more. But first, in light of recent incidents involving a parolee in Little Rock, the Arkansas Board of Corrections has voted to make policy changes for convicts on parole. The changes come after Governor Mike Beebe called for a review of the state's parole system following findings that Daryl Dennis, the suspect in a Little Rock slaying, was free despite several alleged parole violations. Benny Magnus, chairman of the Board of Corrections, says the revisions will strengthen the supervision and control of parolees in Arkansas.
The recent developments of the Dennis case, plus the investigation we're conducting of the Probation and Parole Division since that incident. The Board of Corrections office has been working on that investigation.
The changes include jailing any parolee who is charged with a felony or a violent or sex-related misdemeanor, and jailing parolees who fail to report two or more times. A report issued Friday by the Arkansas Department of Workforce Services puts the state's unemployment rate at 7.3%. The statistics reflect a difference of 0.1 percentage point, mirroring trends at the national level. Despite job losses in the business sector, other areas have experienced growth due to seasonal changes. Kim Friedman is a spokeswoman for the department.
Employment in trade, transportation, and utilities increased 1,900, and most of that occurred in retail trade, which was a typical seasonal expansion that we see this time of year. Construction also experienced a seasonal increase. It actually increased 1,400.
Overall, the state's civilian labor force rose by 2,400 workers, with 600 more Arkansans finding jobs among the 1,800 unemployed. Debate has been swirling in East Arkansas over a designation of the White River, making it a national blueway. The designation was established through the Department of the Interior and is part of the Obama administration's America Great Outdoors program. Keith Weaver is project leader of the Central Arkansas National Wildlife Refuge Complex with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And this national system is designed to recognize successful and long-standing efforts by partners that are working towards conservation, recreation, education, and sustainable economic activities. And these partnerships are operating in what would be considered nationally significant rivers and their watersheds.
Weaver says the program is voluntary and is led locally. Those who oppose the designation see things differently and fear the government is overstepping its boundaries by declaring the White River a national blueway. They are concerned federal agencies will dictate how the river will be used and will take private land away from owners. 13 counties have opted out of the program. Public comment can be submitted through July 9th. Last week, Governor Beebe attended the opening of the latest exhibition at the Museum of Discovery, a learning museum in Little Rock, known for its hands-on, kid-friendly exhibits. He says exhibits like the one at the Museum of Discovery, which was recently named one of the top 10 science museums in the country by Mensa, is a good source of summertime learning for students.
While having fun is the focus of any child's summer break, keeping intellectual stimulation as part of their routine is important for their future educational success. Research has shown time and again that children involved in summer learning activities are better at retaining the knowledge they're taught at school. According to a RAND Corporation report, students may lose a month or more of grade level equivalency in math and reading during the summer without learning options.
Aside from museums and summer camps, Governor Beebe says that programs such as the State Education Department coordinated 21st Century Community Learning Centers program, as well as the Arkansas Out of School Network, can help parents identify school-linked summer programs in their area that can help their children better retain information over the summer months. Nonprofit organizations in Rogers will soon have to pay more to rent city-owned baseball fields for tournaments. Last week, the city's Parks and Recreation Commission decided to eliminate the price breaks given to nonprofits. Barney Hayes is the city's parks director.
Back several years ago when we only had four softball fields, at that point in time we're hosting like three tournaments a year, we were able to give some financial discounts to nonprofit organizations. Now then we've moved into a different scenario with six softball fields and 20-plus tournaments during the year, and it's just putting more and more strain and more time on our staff to prep the fields, more expenses for the electricity on the lighting, the paper products. It's just costing us a lot more money now that we have 20-some tournaments and six fields.
Hayes says the change in fee structure will put park fees for renting fields in Rogers more in line with the policies of the rest of the large cities in Northwest Arkansas.
We were the only city that gave some discount to nonprofit organizations with the proper paperwork from the federal government certifying that they were nonprofit. The bigger cities surrounding us do not give that discount.
Though he wouldn't give specific numbers, Hayes says nonprofits looking to rent one field for one day would likely pay 2 to 3 times more than they currently pay for field rentals, depending on what services the organization requested with the field rental. Speaking of baseball, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals did not have a winning weekend on the road in Tulsa. The Nats lost 2-0 on Friday to the Drillers. Saturday saw better fortunes for the Naturals as they won that game 3-1, but the Nats were defeated again yesterday with a score of 2-1. Tomorrow, Arvez Ballpark will serve as the site of the Texas League All-Star Game, and on Wednesday, the Naturals will return to Springdale to open a 3-game set against the Midland Rockhounds. Tonight's weather forecast calls for partly cloudy conditions with lows around 72 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs from the lower to mid-90s. And tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-70s. This is Ozarks at Large. Our population as a whole is getting older as baby boomers of World War II age. Northwest Arkansas is the second most popular place in the United States for retirees to relocate after the state of Florida. The need for specialized care in the area is growing as our population is increasing and aging. Last week, the 7th floor of Mercy Hospital in Rogers was formally dedicated as the Mercy Senior Behavioral Health Program. And today, the inpatient program hopes to admit its first patient. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas attended last week's ribbon cutting and has this report.
Like most things at Mercy Hospital, last Tuesday's dedication of the Senior Behavioral Program began with the prayer.
Mercy is the God of all consolation who strengthens us through the Son, the Holy Spirit showers his love and blessings in a particular way on those who are in distress, on the sick, and on those who assist and minister to the sick in any way. In this realization, then, let us ask for God's blessing on all those who will be patients here and all those who will devote themselves to caring for the sick. And let us ask the divine blessing on this building.
A Catholic hospital, Mercy's healing ministry is the body, the mind, and the spirit. Dr. Don Holden is the medical director of the new program. When greeting the crowd, which lined the hallway, he held a visual aid, a three-dimensional purple triangle held together by silver magnets.
Consider equilateral triangles coming together to form a pyramid, the strongest configuration known to man. One side is the physical, one side the psyche, the mental and emotional, one side the pneumos, the spiritual, which separates man from every other creature. It matters not which. Break one bond, and the configuration is lost. The emphasis being is to put the whole individual back at the same time for the whole to of the individual to come together in balance and in harmony once again. This is what I think should be our legacy, and this is what will make this unit different from all others.
Also different from all others, this senior mental health unit is in a hospital, providing patients and their families the comfort of knowing they can receive complete care in one location. Here's Dr. Holden after the ceremony. Well,
we have a host of professionals to give ancillary support. The first rule is to rule out any kind of organic problem. There might be a thyroid disease that mimics the demending process. There might be urinary tract infections that can mimic, or interaction of medications that can mimic the memory loss. And what we can do is sort those out in timely fashion, moving in harmony with our brethren physicians, brethren healthcare providers, and providing what's called a therapeutic milieu. So we can do numerous things in a shorter period of time rather than the family members going to one healthcare provider after another trying to find the appropriate explanation of the difficulties.
The need for specialized care in this area is growing as the population is growing and aging. As this aging occurs, more people are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. In 2010, 60,000 Arkansans had been diagnosed. In 2025, it's projected that 76,000 Arkansans will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And with that increase comes an increase in deaths from dementia and Alzheimer's and other mental disabilities. But how can one die from a mental illness?
As a person has more and more difficulty with his cognition, his memory, his judgment making, he becomes more at risk. The body simply forgets to make an immune response to a common illness. The body forgets to be able to adapt to changing situations such as climbing stairs or being able to judge distance, so falls come to play. People forget to take medications and take preventative actions that they have done in previous times. Plus, the body itself is changing neurologically. The body is not as well able to make a appropriate response as soon as it recognizes a danger type of process.
Also, caretaking issues. A person might be left alone and they're forgetful. They may start a fire and forget about it, or forget to put the screen up and burn the house down. Part of a patient's care plan will try to address this forgetfulness and other cognitive issues. Other treatments may include stress management, assertiveness training, communication skills, conflict resolution, coping skills, grief and loss resolution, and much of that will be in groups. One room on this seventh floor hallway has a large table with chairs around, atop are a variety of games. Many look to be targeted toward that senior age group. This is where Stephanie Bushnell, recreation specialist, will hold her group recreation activities.
Things that I do are things like exercise, reminiscing, music, sing-alongs. I do a lot of cognitive stimulation activities such as trivia, quick recall. There's some of the examples there. Arts and crafts. We're going to eventually try to get pet therapy, bring in a certified therapy dog to be able to do pet therapy with the patients. I was thinking starting off every day with an exercise group and just kind of going from there.
Exercise to music, which Stephanie says she tries to use older music that patients may remember. Exercise to music can put patients in a better mood, allow them an outlet for physical pain, socialization, and feeling like they have a place. It also allows them to focus on what they can do and not what they can't. Beth Simpson, program director, comes to Mercy from a hospital in Kansas. A former recreation specialist for kids, she wasn't sure she would like working in geriatrics.
After about the first week, I quickly determined this is kind of like working with children in older aged bodies. I mean, you have some of the same similar behaviors and have loved it ever since. Had some family members that actually I was somewhat responsible for their care that had dementia. And so, like many families, I learned firsthand what it's like to be on the other side as well. And I think now I appreciate then how sometimes it's hard to see your family go through this, family member go through this, and not know what to do or what the resources are. And so that's part of our job and our mission as well, is to get the word out.
As the average stay is 8 to 12 days, Simpson says a large part of what they will do is referrals, both for the next step and support for the caretakers. She provided a tour of the center, pointing out the many differences from a typical hospital floor, bringing to point that this is a mental health unit, and many of those differences are for safety reasons.
They would actually have closets where you'd have a clothes bar and hangers, and the bathrooms would be similar. You notice we don't have a shower head per se. We have all safety features, so we have nothing that will support 50 pounds or more. If you tried to tie onto one of these things, they're going to break away. So that's one of the safety features that you have.
Depression and suicide rates are high among seniors due to loneliness and change, among other factors. Seniors make up just 12.5% of the population, yet account for 16% of all suicides in the United States. The ceilings here are extra high, and the furniture extra low, so patients can't reach the ceiling to tie onto. The picture frames have no glass, and the trash cans no plastic trash bags. Yet there are pleasant differences, like the group rooms. In other areas of the hospital, you're encouraged to heal inside patient rooms and not with others. And the colors here are different, calm and soothing greens. The 18-bed Mercy Senior Behavioral Health Center will see all patients over the age of 55, and hope to admit their first patient today. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
The Farm Bill failed to pass the House, and Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas has more.
A little more than a week after the U.S. Senate passed its bipartisan version of a five-year farm bill, the House of Representatives could not muster enough votes from either side to pass a competing measure. On Thursday, the House Farm Bill failed on a 195-234 vote, with Congressman Rick Crawford, Tim Griffin, and Steve Womack voting for it, and Congressman Tom Cotton opposing the bill. State agricultural interests expressed disappointment and concern over the failed vote. Arkansas's jobless rate in May rose to 7.3%, and the April rate of 7.1% was revised upward to 7.2%. The state's employed workforce rose by 600 from April to May, but it was down 23,000 jobs from 1 year ago, as workers apparently exited the jobs market for a variety of reasons. Economists have speculated that baby boomers are retiring at a developing rate and that discouraged workers are giving up looking for employment. 1 year ago, Arkansas's May jobless rate stood at 7.3%, the same as the current rate, and U.S. unemployment rose 0.1% to 7.6% in May of this year. The Arkansas Insurance Department announced the launch of its Arkansas Health Connector program, with the award of contracts to 23 organizations to serve as guides to help consumers better understand their health insurance options. A new online exchange will be launched later this year to help Medicaid-eligible citizens shop for subsidized health plans, and the Affordable Care Act also requires the online exchange to provide options for consumers. Each of the 23 organizations will employ guides to provide in-person assistance to consumers as the new health insurance coverage options become available in October 2013. Mercy Health officials provided details Monday on a $42 million orthopedic hospital in Fort Smith that should be completed by October of next year and could add up to 100 jobs to the local economy. An adjacent ambulatory surgery center, doctor's offices, and rehab operation now employs about 170. About 100 more employees will be needed for the expanded operation. In case you missed it, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mike Ross and Lieutenant Governor candidate John Burkhalter mutually endorsed each other last week and promised to work jointly to create more jobs in Arkansas if elected. Ross, a former congressman, faces Democratic primary challenger and former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter. Little Rock School Board President Diane Curry says she will challenge Burkhalter in the Lieutenant Governor's Democratic primary. Ross said if he's elected governor, one of his first actions will be to create a governor's cabinet for economic development, a statewide coordinated effort that would focus on job creation. Ross said he would name Burkhalter to chair the cabinet. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Arkansas update.
Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Clubs are an American high school tradition. Drama club, debate club, computer club. But now a growing number of schools have GSA clubs, student-organized gay-straight alliances. At least 36 have formed in Arkansas. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich met with several local GSA members who talked about the challenges they've met.
I am Thomas Griffin. I am 16 years old, and I came out when I was in the 8th grade. I mean, not a single soul was surprised. My mom was like, we've known since you were 3. You came out of the womb snapping.
Thomas Griffin is a confident, handsome guy who, unlike some of his peers, is not afraid to be openly gay. He attends Fayetteville High School and is vice president of the Gay Straight Alliance, which counts 130 members.
In meetings themselves, we have about 30 or 40 regular people who show up, and they're very involved, they're very nice, and they're very straight.
He's the will to my grace.
That's Thomas's childhood friend, 18-year-old Paxton Douglas, who serves as FHS GSA officer. She's straight.
In freshman year, I was bullied because friend and I were really close in gym, and so people assumed we were lesbians, and we were bullied.
Paxton discovered, and studies support this, that even the perception of gayness can trigger bullying among youth. That's why befriending gay peers is important, she says, strength in numbers, to which Thomas agrees.
At the high school, people, the main word I hear used is fag or faggot or dyke.
9 out of 10 gay youth report verbal, sexual, or physical harassment at school. The data on suicide among gay youth is scant, because many are still in the closet. But suicide prevention, experts say, is proportionately higher. To raise awareness about such oppression, Fayetteville High School's GSA stages an annual day of silence, quietly picketing with signage.
It was the most powerful energy that I'd ever been a part of at that high school.
GSAs provide a forum for young gay people who are chronically ostracized to take such stands. Thomas, who plans to become a music teacher someday, has been networking GSAs in the region, which have formed at Elkins, Rogers, Prairie Grove, Salem Springs, Farmington, and Bentonville High Schools. Little Rock School District counts 8 GSAs, and both Fort Smith and Van Buren High School have one. 3 dozen GSAs exist across 13 Arkansas counties at both the high school and college level. Carolyn Lobb is executive director of the Gay Straight Alliance Network based in San Francisco. She said the first GSA organized in 1989.
So it's estimated that there are about 4,000 GSA clubs nationwide, and they exist in every state. And the good news is that Gay Straight Alliance clubs have been studied and found through research to be correlated with lower rates of bullying at school, students rating that they feel safer at school, and they feel a greater sense of school connectedness and school belonging. And this is true, this data is true not just for the students that are members of a Gay Straight Alliance club, but all students in the school. We see lower rates of bullying and greater feelings of safety and belongingness at school.
In Arkansas, Fayetteville High School's GSA is one of the oldest in the state, and one of the newest is organizing at the high school in West Fork, population 2000.
I am Naomi Cleek. I am 14 years old, if you can believe that, and I go to West Fork High School.
Naomi's a straight ally member who wants to help gay youth at her school.
To have an area where they could be completely safe and knowing who they are and that we're not going to judge them for that.
Naomi said she's been the brunt of harsh judgment.
There's always been bullying at West Fork, and I have been a part of it, not so much from the gay side, but I am a bigger person, so I've been bullied a lot.
That's why she's dedicating her time to undoing discrimination. But she said initial efforts to organize a GSA were thwarted.
Our principal and some of the other teachers, they just let their personal beliefs, you know, guide what they allow to happen in the school. And I think it's so important not to do that. I mean, I hate to say that our little town is run by the church, but it's run by the church.
West Fork Superintendent John Karn said on background for this story that the district is not opposed to GSAs and that, like any club, members will have to submit an organizational plan before he makes any recommendations to take it before the school board for approval. But Heath Clower, who pastors First Baptist Church in West Fork, hopes the GSA proposal will be rejected.
I don't see a good reason to put forth more clubs, more organizations to make society and make us feel as though being gay is biblically correct.
Still, science instructor Alisa Williams is one of two teachers who've come forward to serve as a West Fork GSA facilitator.
You know, the concerns that we as a staff and administrators wanted to make sure of is that we are supporting the kids, that we were not making an exclusive club that would be something for only gay or lesbian student. And that's why we really decided to maybe try to organize the GSA, which was more of an alliance.
When there isn't a GSA in a school, students are usually in fear.
Katrina Crisp is Youth Program Coordinator with the Center for Artistic Revolution, a gay civil rights advocacy group based in Little Rock. The center hosts summer camp for Arkansas gay youth, this year held at Ferncliff, a Presbyterian camp, and lends support to GSAs across the state.
Most, if not all of them, have seen resistance at some point in the, you know, formal starting of that GSA. There are schools that are worse off than others. Some just need a little bit of finessing when it comes to their administration, you know, letting them know that all of the myths that they've ever heard about GSAs are actually just that, they're just myths.
Opponents to GSAs claim they're disruptive, promote promiscuity, and endorse homosexuality. The Arkansas Civil Liberties Union assists Arkansas gay students when challenged in forming a GSA. Legal Director Holly Dixon.
Some principals have flat out expressed resistance to and even tried to squelch attempts by students to form GSAs. Some of those same principals, as well as others, have tried to micromanage the GSA or erect barriers and requirements for GSAs that don't exist for other student clubs. Attempts to prohibit discussion of anything gay, quote unquote. Attempting to dissuade teachers from serving as sponsors for the GSAs, and just a whole host of other shenanigans that have sought to impede GSAs and have violated students' rights.
In other states, lawsuits have even been filed to blunt GSA formation. But National Gay Straight Alliance Network Director Carolyn Laub says courts consistently rule in their favor.
There's a federal law called the Federal Equal Access Act, which provides for students' right to assemble and express their opinions and beliefs at school during non-curricular time.
At the federal level, U.S. Democratic Senator Al Franken is advocating for gay youth. He's introduced the Student Non-Discrimination Act. Paul Huguer is Deputy Press Secretary for the Human Rights Campaign based in Washington, D.C.
We're very happy to see it introduced this year, both in the Senate and the House. So really what it will do is prevent public schools from discriminating against LGBT students. We know from our survey that we did last summer of 10,000 LGBT young people across the country is that one of their biggest fears at school about coming out is because they fear that they'll be discriminated against. So if we are able to pass legislation that would end that discrimination or make it illegal, we know that young people will feel a lot better about who they are. They'll feel safer. They'll feel more comfortable. And the environment will really be a lot more conducive to learning for them.
In a national LGBT youth survey released last year, more Arkansas gay youth report being despondent and harassed compared to their peers nationwide.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Northwest Arkansas GSA students plan to celebrate unity on Saturday, June 29th, at Fayetteville's annual Community Pride Parade and Festival. And perhaps, as they stroll down the boulevard, some will sing.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yes,
I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Gay and straight allied friends Thomas Griffin, Naomi Cleek, and Paxton Douglas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about the LGBT youth support programming in Arkansas, you can visit artisticrevolution.org. And for national resources, you can visit gsanetwork.org. It is Monday, June 24th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
So you ready for Mulberry Mountain again?
I am. I am, actually. I was looking at this list the other day. I know. I've kind of become a little bit of a music festival rat. Is that a thing?
I feel like that's a thing. I guess it could be a thing. I don't know. The first one almost scared Kevin Kinter away. Something about flying objects and...
Oh, from Wakarusa?
Right.
Yeah, that was treacherous.
But this is October 17th through 19th, Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival. Don't generally get thunderstorms in October.
I went last year, and it was all rainy and flooded.
Oh, dear. Okay, well... Never mind me. Just decide
Maybe
if you want to go.
Maybe
it's just Antoinette.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, they promised more than 36 bands, mm-hmm. which include, of course, Yonder Mountain String Band, Les Claypool's Duo de Twang, which is a side project from Primus, of all things.
Huh.
World Music Practitioners Beats Antique.
I'm excited about this. Iffy Agnihotri Madolker took me to a show with them once, and it was a lot of
fun.
Oh,
that's one of the ones that she loved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lots of fun.
Swampy Southern Rock Outfit, according to Kevin Kinder, J.J. Gray and mm-hmm. Mofro, and songwriter Justin Towns Earl, rising country star Casey Musgraves, if it sounds like they've got a little bit of everything they do.
They do.
Tickets are on sale now at yonderharvestfestival.com. It's $115 for a three-day pass right now, but I believe that goes up as time gets closer.
I believe that's true right now. It's the early bird special or whatever it's called.
So check it out, and you can see Antoinette there.
You can. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs. As listeners to Arkansongs may attest, there are musicians of note in Arkansas from city to town to wide spot in the road. Less known is that there are plenty of songs mentioning the natural state, as well as its people and places, by Arkansasers, in addition to people outside the state.
Way down in the country, people sure get funky.
Arkansas Line, Elvin Bishop's homage to festivities along the Arkansas state line, is heard here. Guitarist and vocalist Bishop is best known for his hit, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, as well as his guitar playing.
despite the song title here. No specific Arkansas places are mentioned in the song, but once he's done partying, the narrator eventually returns back to Tulsa, the city where Bishop grew up, so it's probably along Arkansas's western border. The lyrics are heavy on references to backcountry stereotypes like shooting, fistfights, and homemade liquor and beer. Heard Here is When Panthers Roamed Arkansas by Kate Campbell. It opens up her 1996 album, Moon Pie Dreams. Campbell's song is an ode to nostalgia for the early 20th century. Many who grew up in the state during the 1930s and 40s, such as Johnny Cash, can attest to the haunting scream of the panther in rural Arkansas. Hernando de Soto described much the same during his travels through the territory in the early 1540s. For decades after it being declared extinct in the region in the mid-20th century, the State Game and Fish Commission has denied numerous reports by citizens of panther sightings across Arkansas. Campbell's song also appeared on the music compilation of the Oxford American magazine in 1997, when it was still based in Mississippi. The magazine has since been based in Little Rock and more recently Conway in Faulkner County, and has annually released an issue devoted to Southern music. Oblivion's punky ode to Little Rock, Dope Sniffing Dog, was released in 2005. Mississippi native wrote the song with fellow Mississippi native Jimbo Mathis of Clarksdale. Jimbo Mathis's funkier version of the song was released in 2003.
Fast Horse Recordings. The label was owned by Barrett Martin and Little Rock native and percussionist Joe Cripps. In Mathis's hands, Dope Sniffing Dog, with its come around, get around refrain and reworked lyrics, in a better world, could serve as an anthem to attract shoppers and conventioneers to Arkansas's capital city. All Songs of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer is Carrie DeVore. For more information or to subscribe to the podcast, visit arkansongs.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. Michael Heffernan has been creating poems for about 50 years. He's taught poetry at the University of Arkansas since 1986. His latest collection of poems is titled Walking Distance and is available now. Tomorrow night, he'll read from that collection as well as others as the featured speaking guest of the Ozark Poets and Writers Collective at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. Last week, Michael Heffernan talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about his work, his childhood in Detroit, and how he was introduced to writing poetry. He says he had to write a poem after somebody in his high school class had, as a juvenile joke, left a jock strap on a teacher's desk.
That was the punishment. And I came home and told my mother, I can't do this. I'm not a poet. And I was awakened in the middle of the night. I fished out a piece of cardboard from the wastebasket and wrote this thing down in about 20 minutes and went back to sleep. And I don't know what became of that piece of cardboard or that poem, but it reminisced about a childhood experience up in Maine where my dad, every August, would pack us into the car and drive us to the coast of Maine. It took us two full days in those days. And it was a location that my mother knew about and was very fond of, and so she kind of directed us there on her initiative. And my dad and I would stand on this rock overlooking the wild Atlantic Ocean. There was a tidal pool behind us, and we would fish for pollock, which were thought of as not decent fish at that time. They are now served, you know, in parts of whatever frozen fish you can buy at the store, at least. And we would put those fish in that tidal pool, and once the tide came and swept them all back out into the ocean, we said, well, we'll catch them again tomorrow. and that's what my dad and I did. While my mother lay up on this big rock and sunned herself, and my sister went off and played by herself.
Well, it's funny that you bring up memories of this childhood, because one of my favorite poems in Walking Distance includes discussion of walking on stilts.
Yep.
And this was under encouragement of your father, right?
Exactly. And he made the stilts for us, my sister and me.
And you would go walking through town on your stilts. There was a summer where you would just get better and better at stilt walking.
We did. My recollection is of doing this all summer and walking down our street, a full city block, on an inner city, in an inner city neighborhood. You want me to just read it?
Would you please?
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Thank you.
A Face at the Pain. The summer my sister and I rode stilts around the block, week after week, is locked in the same corner Joe McCarthy keeps on the TV our father bought, the living room. He also built those stilts from 2x2s with blocks of 2x4 nailed in for the foot pieces, the height of our stoop's first step from the sidewalk. as many times that summer as we could, we showed up on the main street with its bars and haberdasheries and furniture stores, no matter how odd we looked to the shopkeepers watching us from their windows passing by. We had a job to do, and we're going to do it. We learned how to walk the length of Morrell Street, around to Junction Avenue and Verner Highway, and back to Morrell Street without falling off. We did this until late August came, with its ponderous clouds, its intimations of routine, of careless time, and the beauty of freedom spoiled, the stilted knock of skyborne walkers stilled. We wouldn't have known what to think of all of that. Our father's death was 20-some years off. Our mother's nearly 20 further on. She was the doughtier of the two of them, designed for the long haul, despite complaints, mostly about the legs and the hip joints. They keep a person stepping near the ground and eventually feet first into it after a while. This is the bitter pill that has got to be swallowed. It leaves its acrid stain on the mother tongue. When I look out that window, I savor those bees abuzz, like teams of peasants at their happy toil. I sweat to quit my soul, its tick of due regard. Expansive anguish spawns a riot of fond regret. When and if the roof falls in, I'll want a record of present conditions. It's good to know where things went. Torn from a decent sleep, I'll stumble out to find my walking stick leaning against what's left of the garden shed and the ancestral yew that poured its mighty grieving by the road, redoubling into oafish countryside.
I just love that poem, Michael. I just love that. There's so many things I love about it. I think the single best description of August I've ever read and now heard is just four words. It's intimations of routine. I love that about because August is you can feel no matter your age, whether you're a kid or an adult, you can feel that summer going away and things are going back to the way they'll be for a while.
That's right.
I imagine sometimes you read poems for people who don't read nearly as much poetry as a country. You don't read and talk about poetry nearly as much as we did at one point.
Well, yeah, in the middle of the 19th century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you hear from people that read your poems, right?
I mean,
you get emails and
I got an email from somebody who had read this poem in a book that was published just a few years ago. I went to the University of Detroit, the secular university, Wayne State University, where my mother had gone for a teacher's degree in the late 20s. When I was growing up, despite my mother having gone there and been perfectly uncontaminated, it was thought by people of Catholic background to be a place where you would run into ideas that were unacceptable. Atheists could be bred there. Now, I hope nobody is going to hear this up in Michigan because I don't feel that way about Wayne State. They did me a great turn when they invited me to offer them a manuscript just a very few years ago. And they did a gorgeous book, which is called At the Bureau of Divine Music. And toward the end of it, there's this poem. Awake. I lay down in my bed and went to sleep, but only after worrying that the pain that came up in my chest, seemingly deep inside where my heart was a plain signal that I might not survive the night and could be lying cold beside my wife when she got up, as she does with the light, to start another day in her own life while mine was over, unbeknown to us, including me. As I was worrying, I went to sleep and woke up in 4 hours to use the bathroom. Birds had begun to sing. Two dogs were barking. Nothing perilous had come to find us. What was ours was ours.
That's beautiful. That is a universal experience, right? Who among us who's over the age of five hasn't experienced that dread
yeah.
in bed.
Yeah.
And then to be, okay, reawakened, you know, a few hours later and the day has begun. But I'm guessing, I'm no poet, but I'm guessing getting something that's compact, that speaks to a universal experience
yeah.
and does it that well is not an easy thing to do.
Well, what I was trying to think in relation to this is something having to do with the form of it, which is a sonnet, which you can teach yourself relatively easy, you know, access to, and use it as a way of making poems rather quickly. I've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is one of the advantages of having forms like that in the English language that we've inherited from the European tradition. And I see that as a way of making something half-baked into something baked.
Right.
And with a half-baked idea to start with, having that as an instrument, you can work something up. And it doesn't take long. It really doesn't. I try to teach this to my students.
Poems, you're describing them, and they're very personal. They're memories, they're feelings. But you're writing them knowing other people will read them.
I hope so.
Yes. So do you think you're writing the poems for you or for other people?
I'm doing a little bit of both, I think. I'm certain I am writing to other people who I certainly hope will read what I'm writing. And I think that way in terms of making sure that something is, as I said earlier, an interesting discovery, at least, that takes place in the course of that poem, getting itself written, but without my knowing exactly where that's going to go myself. And I hope that is interesting to other people,
that
they find things there in their own imagination.
That's what I was going to ask. Someone might read something and take something completely differently away from it than what you were feeling. That's okay?
I try not to have an intention in the sense of something that I am trying to say to a given readership.
You must find words that you really like. Do you ever discover new words that...
Oh, they're out there. They will show up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, you know, interesting words. I think like most poets, I read the dictionary. I'm not comfortable with a thesaurus. I don't believe in a rhyming dictionary. I hope rhymes occur in interesting ways. As a poem is making itself, but contriving to find rhymes somehow or another out of a resource like a rhyming dictionary. I may have had one at one time many, many years ago, but I don't think that way.
Michael Heffernan will read tomorrow night at Nightbird Books as the month's guest of the Ozark Poets and Writers Collective. His latest collection of poems is titled Walking Distance and is available now. He teaches poetry at the University of Arkansas. He talked with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums last week.
Do you ever have those little voices in your head?
That little guy whispering, I don't know if you can do this.
Is what they say about us true?
They don't think you can do it.
Whose voices are they?
That's not me. That's not myself.
Do they hurt us or help us?
They're kind of guiding voices.
He would remind her to do more positive things.
Can they save our lives?
Porky, are you there?
Dad said, I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you.
Inner Voices on the next Radiolab.
Radiolab, Saturdays at noon here on KUAF 91.3 FM. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Siloam Springs. And one quick note before we end the show today, the Arkansas Music Pavilion has added Vampire Weekend to its 2013 season. They announced that this morning. The concert will be at 7:30 September 25th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. They are $36.50 in advance and $40 the day of the show. Have any more questions? You can call 443-5600 or visit amptickets.com. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. Have a happy Monday.